Hey, Matt Rothschild here on the Maggie Dawn Show. Maggie's off today, and I'm joined by my usual subbing co-host, Angela Lang of Block, and Representative Francesca Hong, who represents the Madison area in the State Assembly. Rep Hong, I want to ask you what advice you're giving to your constituents or your young staff members this week, or what advice you have for our listeners who are in distress or in despair today.
I'm reminding folks that however you are feeling, however much you may be not feeling, I know I'm in my very much dazed and numb phase, is valid. And, you know, that there is always a journey that we can take to get to hope. But let's take the pressure off ourselves to hope in this moment. Mm-hmm. And I know that when it comes to movement building, we've already built so much. And I know with this looming new administration, there are going to be people who join our movement every single day. And so that means more people to tap in when you have to tap out. But I truly believe that systemic change, historic moments of crises, people going through the worst struggles. We always have folks, whether it's artists or poets, people who've been able to get us through while others are working in many other lanes. So I think right now that's what I'm reminding folks of.
You know, I love the invocation of the poets. We played Wendell Berry a little earlier. I want to see if we can play this very famous poem, the last stanza of a very famous poem by W.H. Auden, the British poet, who wrote a poem called September 1st, 1939, the day the Nazis attacked Poland. Here's the last stanza. Give a listen
to this. September 1st, 1939, by W.H. Auden. I sit in one of the dives on 52nd Street, uncertain and afraid, as the clever hopes expire of a low, dishonest decade. Waves of anger and fear circulate over the bright and darkened lands of the earth, obsessing our private lives. The unmentionable odor of death offends the September night. Accurate scholarship can unearth a whole offense from Luther unto now, that has driven a culture mad. Find what occurred at Linz, what huge imago made a psychopathic god.
I did want to hear his voice, but I also wanted to get to this. Actually, I wanted this last stanza, which I'll read my own self. Defenseless under the night, our world in stupor lies, yet dotted everywhere, ironic points of light flash out wherever the just exchange their messages. And then he concludes with this incredible last stanza. May I compose like them of Eros and of dust, and catch this, beleaguered by the same negation and despair, show an affirming flame. I just think that is so cool.
Mm-hmm.
And so we do look at a time like this too, artists, musicians, poets, for solace, for perspective, for inspiration. But one of the things I like about that last line, other than it's poetry, is the importance of affirmation. What do we affirm in difficult times?
Mm-hmm.
To me, you know, that gets crucial. And so, you know, I look around and I start close to home. You know, we affirm love, family, friends. You know, that's what we got. And it's beautiful. But then, you know, you look politically and, you know, I believe in solidarity. Solidarity is crucial. And then the things we're for kindness. We're for generosity. We're for justice. We're for equality. We're for freedom. We're for peace. We're for democracy. We're for Mother Nature, who's under siege right now. And so, as dark as it is, you know, I just think by dealing with our emotions, and it is an emotional time. And sorry to bring my emotions to the table here, but it is what it is. That we need to first be gentle with each other and ourselves, be gentle with our loved ones, recognize where we're at, and we'll go forward. We'll get through this. It's going to be hard, and it's going to be especially hard on people who are not white, on people who are trans, on people who are undocumented. And Lord knows, you know, how far the fascists are going to go. But the other thing to remember is fascists never survive in power very long. It's a fact. I mean, fascism, I also think we should recognize that capitalism's devouring our democracy. And fascism is an effect of a product. And why? It lets fascism happen because capitalism doesn't deliver the goods. It no longer delivers the goods to the majority of the people in this country. They are suffering. That's what we saw on Election Day. People suffering economically and wanting a change so that their material conditions are better. And capitalism won't provide it. And the oligarchs aren't going to provide it either. And so that's one reason capitalism devours democracy. The other is the rich buy the political system. I mean, here we have Elon Musk throwing ungodly amounts of money at it. We've seen it here in Wisconsin with the richest people in Wisconsin and the Elons and the folks down in Beloit, Diane Hendricks throwing so much money, polluting. You know, they can buy our politicians. They, you know, they try to buy our laws. So we see that happening. And so we are seeing fascism come out of capitalism and the crisis of capitalism. That at the macro level is where we're at. And so we need to, you know, talk about a better system here, a fairer system than what we got than this. And this isn't advanced industrial cap. I mean, it is advanced, but it is also cowboy capitalism, too, at the same time. And so, you know, that's what we're dealing with. And those are big forces. Kamala Harris couldn't, even if she had no unforced errors, may not have been able to deal with these factors. And so we got to address them. Bernie addresses them. AOC addresses them. Francesca Hong addresses them. Angela Lang addresses them. But, you know, we all got to do that. Francesca Hong, I want you to talk about a happier thing, and that is we gained some ground in the state legislature. Tell us how that happened and what that means.
We've got 45 Democrats elected to the state assembly, and we picked up 4 seats in the state Senate, which was all of the targeted races. And I think that this means locally especially, people are beginning to gain trust in their representatives and that they want deliverables, and Democrats, our assembly candidates, talked about that. We talked about how it's at the state legislature where there's a $4 billion surplus and we can invest back in our communities to make sure cities and townships have what they need to provide the services that Wisconsinites deserve. We talk about protecting abortion rights and reproductive freedom and how we can put that into our state constitution. We talked about investing in public schools and making sure we're bringing 90% back to special education. I mean, these are things that matter to Wisconsinites that we said we can do in the state legislature when we have the majority. And folks and are excited about that because we're saying we're fighting for you.
Yeah, I'm sorry to interrupt. And the people of Wisconsin are for public schools. They demonstrated that overwhelmingly passing the vast majority of the referendums that were put before them, even though it meant that their taxes were going to go up a little bit.
And I think what's important for Democrats to realize here is that we're able to name the villain and talk about a deliverable when we talk about public schools. It was Republicans who have been defunding public education for the last 13 years, both at K-12 and for our universities. We are feeling the consequences of that. It is destroying communities and impacting our kids. And so folks across the country and in Wisconsin too are fighting back. I will always say it's public schools, regardless of where your children are going to school, public schools make for stronger communities and people want that.
No doubt about it. To what extent were the FAIR MAPS and the FAIR MAPS movement at play here in the gains that the Democrats made?
Oh, absolutely. The new maps played a huge role in making sure that we were able to compete in competitive seats, that we had Democrats, both in safe districts and more competitive districts, actually campaigning and competing with Republicans who had to go back to the communities and say they were going to do something about what was going on, the struggles that folks are feeling. And so Fair Maps took us out of this, complacency where representatives, Democrat or Republican, have to actually answer to their communities. And so we saw a completely different campaign landscape when you have folks who actually have to listen to the people.
And will this make a difference in the Capitol? Because I know when I was there, when they had the vast majority of power there, they were so arrogant. The Republicans were so disdainful, so dismissive of Democrats, even their colleagues on, committees with them. They just kind of laughed everybody off. Do you think it's going to change the culture in there?
Absolutely. I think that we will not be forced into taking having to pick between two evils, what's worse for our communities and what's going to be worse. Instead, there will be opportunities for compromise, because Republicans are going to have to go back to their communities with some tangible good in order to be able to campaign again. And so the elimination of complacency is what I'm looking forward to, and actually talking about policies that are going to improve lives and building back that trust that government is a force of good and can be used for good. And that's what we need to get all Wisconsinites back to, so we can have a democracy that works for everyone.
I just want to give a shout out, one, for anyone that's listening that may not know, Rep Hong is a dear friend of mine. And it's people like her and her leadership to be able to crisscross the state in this election season and have those conversations. Like, she's just not knocking doors for herself. In fact, I almost forgot she was on the ballot herself, because she's, helping other Democrats across the state get elected as well. And I think that that should be an example of how we continue to show up in this moment, by listening to each other, by talking to folks, by maybe even going to places that you don't live and engaging and understanding that we're far more alike than we are divided. And I think I just wanted to name that it's through people like Rep Hong and others that are adamant about kind of not always playing this traditional game of politics, of how we get elected, but actually bringing humanity back to politics. I think a lot of us got in this work because we want to make a change for folks, because we love the humanity in others. But sometimes we lose that along the way. And I think Rep Hong is a reminder of how we continue to bring people together, but also to build that bridge. And it feels so distant, especially right now. But I think, again, that's an example of how we need to continue to show up moving forward.
And congratulations, Rep Hong, on your reelection, too. It does seem to just kind of, we take it for granted. We shouldn't take it for granted. So congratulations.
I'll say that I was very excited to see so many colleagues of mine who are in safe Democratic seats knock thousands of doors, some who still had more competitive races knock hundreds of doors for folks who were in the most competitive races, and to see this collective, this shift to collaboration and making sure that we are lifting everyone up, because we are the Democrats have to be the party that's for all people. We exemplified that with how we campaigned this past cycle.
Well, Francesca Hong, thanks for being on the show with us. It's been great having you and having your perspective. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show. I'm Matt Rothschild, guest hosting with Angela Lang of Block, and we'll be right back.